be here on this evening to sing songs to his high and holy name. And we appreciate all who have led us in our devotional part of the services. And it is just another blessing to see another year. I mean, it's just time is going by fast. And we are in 2015. And it's just another blessing from God. And I'm always grateful to be able to stand, and I appreciate the invitation to be asked to speak. And we're praying and hoping that something we say on tonight will be of benefit to us as we look to live better lives for Christ in 2015. I want us to go to the book of Acts, to the passage of scripture that was read in our hearing, Acts chapter 2, considering verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to key in on verse number 1 when it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And I want to study with us the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. We have celebrated a lot of holidays. I know we started with Halloween, and Halloween went into Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving went into Christmas, and Christmas, and now we're in the new year. And when we celebrate and observe and recognize and commemorate these days, they conjure up in us feelings of well wishes, feelings of honor, and even thankfulness as we celebrate these holidays. And we get excited over our nostalgic traditions. I get excited every time I see those Christmas lights. You know, and people know how to put them together well. And I eagerly anticipate receiving my gifts, but also anticipate giving them and watching others open their gifts and seeing how they look when they realize they got what they wanted. And it's just an overwhelming joy when it comes time for Thanksgiving, and I see that smorgasbord of delectable, delicious dishes that I hadn't seen since the year before. And my taste buds just leap for joy as I pile all of that food on my plate. Even when I see those kids dressed up in their costumes and knocking on the door, yelling trick or treat, causes something in us. During Memorial Days, when we contemplate the great sacrifices made by our service men and women, we yield our lives, put them on hold to salute and honor these individuals. And I thought if we could get fired up and excited and contemplative over these man-made holidays, Imagine what it must have been like for the Jews as they were commanded by God to celebrate and to observe three holy days out of the year. Now, these three holy days they were commanded, they all had to assemble for these. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which was connected with the Passover. Every Jew had to come and celebrate that holy day. There was another holy day that they had to celebrate. It was called the Feast of the Ingathering, the Feast of the Tabernacle, and they were required to come to God's appointed place, Jerusalem. And then the final feast was the Feast of the Harvest, or the First Fruits. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, and we know it now as Pentecost. In Exodus 23:14-19, God commanded that these three holy days, that every male had to appear before the Lord. And there was preparation and planning that went into making that trip to appear before the Lord. And I know there had to be anticipation and excitement in the days as the feast was approaching. And in Acts chapter 2, we see that these Jews have gathered in celebration of the second required annual feast, Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of the Harvest. It was called Pentecost in the Greek, and it meant 50th. It stood for the festival celebrated 50 days after Passover. Now, I think it's important that we examine the significance of Pentecost from the Old Testament. And then I want us to look at the spiritual significance of Pentecost in the New Testament. And I also want us to consider the practical significance for us today. What does Pentecost mean for you and I? When you look at the Old Testament, there were different names. The first one was the Feast of Weeks, and it was called the Feast of Weeks because it occurred 7 weeks after the Passover. But it is also called the Feast of the Harvest because of its relationship to the harvest season. And it was a reminder that God had blessed them. So every harvest, as they were to plant their fruit, they were to come together and to have a joyous celebration over what God had done. Then it is also called the Feast of the First Fruits because 2 loaves of newly ground grain were presented before the Lord. And every male, when they observed the Feast of Weeks, they had to come and to appear before the Lord. No work was to be done, and all the people had to appear before the Lord to express their gratitude. And 2 loaves were waved by the priest before the Lord, and they contained 1/10 of ephah and 3/4 of the finest wheat flour. It was to bring the very best before the Lord. It was a festival of joy and good cheer, and they marked it by offering freewill offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites were admonished to remember their bondage on that day and to consecrate themselves to the Lord. Now, that's what they were to do. In Old Testament time, they were to remember that they had been in bondage, and now they were to consecrate themselves to the Lord. And as they gathered on this Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, this celebration would not be like any other they've ever celebrated before. For the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in the midst of this joyous occasion, while they were offering their free will offerings and as they reveled in their first fruits of the harvest and while they remembered their Egyptian bondage, something occurred like they had never seen before. The Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because they heard every man speak in his own language. There was a greater significance than the priest's wave offering on that day. There was greater fruit to be gathered than the first fruit of the harvest on that day. This Pentecost reveals a greater spiritual significance, for God is moving in a way that he's never moved before. The Spirit of God is being poured out for the very first time. The apostles received the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise from the Father. Here is the down payment of the promise that God had made when he sent his Spirit. Before Pentecost, the Spirit had not been given, according to John chapter 7 and verse number 39. But on the day of Pentecost, God revealed his Spirit in a way that it had never been revealed before. And every person who obeyed the apostles' teaching on that day were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it was spiritually significant because the apostles received the promise of the Holy Spirit. But not only that, the apostles were inspired to preach the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On that day, they got up, and those individuals who heard them speaking in their own language, some of them mocked and some of them asked, what does this mean? And Peter had to stand up and tell them, these men are not drunken as ye suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your young men will dream dreams, and your old men, I know I may not be quoting that right, but it's all right in there somewhere. He was showing them that what I'm about to do, you have never seen it before. And what he revealed was, I'm going to show you now that you have crucified Christ, the chosen of God, and you have taken him, and by wicked hands you have crucified him and slain him. But this same Jesus, I'm going to raise up, he rose him up from the dead again. That was the first time the resurrection had been preached. Not only that, it was a fulfillment of God's prophecy. For he says, I'm doing what I told Joel I would do, in that I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And it doesn't matter what flesh it is, whether it's male or female, whether it is young or old, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. God had never done that before, but he fulfills his promise at Pentecost. Not only that, but then there's the first time remission of sin is offered, where they don't have to go back and offer another blood offering, but the blood has been shed, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when they asked and found out how they had crucified the Lord, they wanted to know, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then the church was established on this day. The church was established on this day. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. They sold their goods and possessions. And the Bible says, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That was Pentecost. And as we consider what happened spiritually on Pentecost, I got to consider, if Pentecost occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, is there any significance? Is there any opportunity for me in Pentecost in 2015? And I'm not talking about a literal Pentecost. I'm not telling you to wait 50 days after the Passover. But in the figurative sense, Pentecost can occur every first day of the week. It occurs every time a sinner is saved. It occurs every time one receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. It occurs every time an individual comes out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but that's something a day to get excited about. Better than Christmas and Mother's Day and Easter and Thanksgiving, Pentecost was the day when Peter gave his report to the church in Jerusalem about Cornelius' conversion. He made reference to the fact that what happened at Cornelius was the same thing that happened at Pentecost. He said, we had a Pentecost at Cornelius' house. In Acts chapter 11 and around verse number 15, he said, when I saw what was going on and how the Spirit fell on them as it did on us at the beginning, I saw that this was the same event. I'm here to tell you that when the preaching and teaching of the word is brought with the power of the Holy Spirit, people responding in obedience through baptism, individuals are being added to those believers that make up the one body, I just believe that Pentecost is still occurring. If I can get excited over Christmas, if I can get overwhelmed at Thanksgiving, I can be joyous on New Year's, I think I ought to just get excited and overwhelmed every time an event like Pentecost can occur. I know during Christmas you may receive a gift, but at Pentecost we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know during New Year's you celebrate the new year, but Pentecost brought us new life. For I read, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I know during July the 4th we celebrate our independence as a nation, but because of Pentecost, I celebrate my translation into the kingdom of God's dear son. On Juneteenth, you get your red soda pop and barbecue. Celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation. But because of Pentecost, we can celebrate our emancipation from our trespasses and sins. On your wedding day, on your wedding anniversary, you remember the covenant you made at the altar. But because of Pentecost, God remembers the covenant that he made with us, that we would be his people and he would be our God. Pentecost takes care of everything, not only my past, but it takes care of my future. Takes care of my present. I'm connected to a group of people with inexhaustible resources. When you come into the family of God and you had your day of Pentecost, God adds you to his family. Oh, the Bible says in Acts 2:44, all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to every man as they had need. Because of their Pentecost connection, they developed a connection with one another. Their motto was, if I have it, you have it. No reason for a Pentecost participant not to have a coat when it's cold outside. No reason for a student who participates in Pentecost to be failing. I think I better say that again. Ain't no reason, oh, that's bad English, but good preaching. No reason why a Pentecost participant should be failing. If I'm passing, you passing. That was the model that existed at Pentecost. Not only that, that day brought them inexhaustible resources, but that day told them how to live. The Bible says in verse number 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were learning how to love one another, how to live with one another, how to talk to one another, how to respect each other. They learned how to love their wives and how to love their husband and how to love their children. They were learning at the apostles' feet. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. See, when we participate in Pentecost, and I believe we can still do it today, we become what they were, a loving group of people committed to the word of God. On our travels from California to Texas, we stopped in a city called Willcox, Arizona. The population of Willcox pales in comparison to Richardson. But in Willcox, Arizona, Christians were meeting. And it did not matter that many of the Christians there did not look like me. They didn't sing like we sang. They didn't sound like, they didn't preach like we preach. But it did not matter because we were connected from Pentecost. Because what they believe and what they taught is what the Bible teaches and what we believe. I'm asking us, don't you just simply want to do what they did at Pentecost? If this year we could do simply what they did at Pentecost, we would be back on Sunday night. If we did simply what they did at Pentecost, we would be fired up about telling somebody about Jesus Christ. If we did what they did at Pentecost, we wouldn't be ashamed to tell somebody, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, the only church you can find in the Word of God. All we need to do
is participate in Pentecost. When it's time to assemble, I don't know if they had to look for everybody like we got to look for. Because they had all things in common. They wanted to be together. Now, I know sometimes being together, we always don't get along. But if we make God our first priority, with His Spirit dwelling in us, I just believe that there is no idiosyncrasy that I have or that you have that I can't overcome and say, I'm just asking us, let's lift up the day of Pentecost. If you are not a child of God, all you have to do to become a Christian is simply what they did at Pentecost. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then we as children of God, we've gotten out of line with the apostles' doctrine. If we've gotten out of line with our fellowship one with another, the right thing to do in a new year, recognizing that this could be your day of Pentecost, is to recognize I've got to change my attitude toward my fellowship with God and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just believe that God will continue to add, just like he did there at Pentecost. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. You need to respond in the way that they responded at Pentecost, by coming down in faith and obedience, repenting, confessing and putting on Christ in baptism. If you're here, you're a Christian, you need to change, make a change. You need the prayers of the righteous. That's one thing that they did in at Pentecost. They continued praying one for another. And we need to continue that spirit. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. Will you come? As we stand, as we sing, will you come?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.